أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahu Allah Ta'ala ibn Sizi, stated, during the Battle of Uhud, there is an incident in which the Holy Prophet ﷺ offered prayers so that the prayers of his companion, Hazrat Sa'd, would be accepted. The incident is as follows. Aisha bint Sa'd relates from her father, Hazrat Sa'd, radiallahu anhu, who stated, when the people returned and launched their attack, I moved to one side and said that I will deal them personally. I will either free myself or I will be martyred. I then suddenly saw an individual with a reddish complexion. He says, the idolaters were close to defeating us. This individual filled his hand with pebbles and threw them at the enemy. Suddenly, Miqdad came between me and that individual. I wanted to ask Miqdad about him. He said to me, O Sa'd, that was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following this, he said, he was calling out for you. I stood up and felt as if I had not been caused any harm at all. Sa'd was wounded or was in pain prior to this. He says, as soon as I heard this voice, I immediately stood up and felt as if I had not been caused any harm. I went to the Holy Prophet and he sat me down in front of him. Each time I was going to shoot an arrow, I would say, O Allah, this is your arrow. Strike your enemy with it. Upon this, the Holy Prophet would say, O Allah, accept the prayer of Sa'd. O Allah, allow the aim of Sa'd to find its target. O Sa'd, may my mother and father be sacrificed for your sake. Hence, with every arrow I shot, the Holy Prophet would simultaneously say, O Allah, allow the aim of Sa'd to hit the target and accept his prayer. Once I had shot all the arrows from my quiver, the Holy Prophet ﷺ spread out the arrows from his quiver and handed me an arrow without an arrowhead and without any feathers. That is, neither it had an arrowhead nor was it properly made from the back. He says, he gave me the arrow, and that arrow proved to be faster than the other arrows. Allama Zuhri has written that on that day, Sa'd shot 1,000 arrows. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has written the following. The Holy Prophet personally handed arrows to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and Hazrat Sa'd would shoot these countless arrows at the enemy. Once the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to Hazrat Sa'd, may my mother and father be sacrificed for your sake. Continue shooting these arrows. Hazrat Sa'd would mention these words with great pride until the very last days of his life. In one narration, it is recorded that Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas used to say, on the day of Uhud, the Holy Prophet took out the arrows from his quiver, spread them out for me and said, shoot these arrows. May my mother and father be sacrificed for your sake. Under directives from the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how did Hazrat Umar repel the attack on the mountain which was launched under the leadership of Khalid bin Walid? In relation to this, there is mention that when the Holy Prophet was stationed with a group of his companions on a small hillock, a band of the Quraysh suddenly reached the top of the hillock. Among these was Khalid bin Walid. When the Holy Prophet saw them at the top, he prayed, Allahumma innahu la yambaghi an ya'alaw Allahumma la quwwata lana illa bika, meaning, O Allah, it does not behove them to defeat us. O Allah, we have no power nor might except with you. In that moment, Hazrat Umar Farooq confronted them with a group of the Muhajireen and drove them away, forcing them down the hillock. Owing to this incident, Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse: وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Slacken not, nor grieve, and you shall certainly have the upper hand if you are believers. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has stated whilst narrating this incident, when the Holy Prophet had arrived at the mountain pass, a contingent of the Quraysh, headed by Khalid bin Walid, attempted to ascend the mountain and wage an attack. But on the command of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Umar fought them along with a few Muhajireen and drove them off. There is mention of the Holy Prophet's concern for his companions despite being injured himself. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha relates, whenever Hazrat Abu Bakr would mention the day of Uhud, he would say, that day belonged to Talha, and then explained, I was among those people who rushed back towards the Holy Prophet ﷺ on the day of the Battle of Uhud. I saw one person was fighting whilst protecting him. The narrator says, I think that Hazrat Abu Bakr said that this person was defending the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Abu Bakr stated, I said to myself, if only that person was Talha, whatever chance I have lost, so be it. It would please me greatly if that were any one of my people. He then continued, there was a person between the Holy Prophet ﷺ and I who I could not recognize, even though I was closer to the Holy Prophet than him. He was walking so swiftly that I could not walk that fast. I then saw that this person was Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah. I then reached the Holy Prophet and saw that his lower incisor, i.e. the tooth between the two front teeth and the canines, had been broken and that his face was wounded. The rings of his helmet had pierced into his cheek. The Holy Prophet said, both of you go and help your companion. He was referring to Talha, who had lost a lot of blood. Instead of saying that he should be tended to himself, the Holy Prophet instructed that we look after Talha to see what state he was in and try to treat his wounds. Then there is mention of the Holy Prophet's love and affection for Ziyad bin Sakhan, and in turn his love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this regard, Ibn Ishaq writes, when the disbelievers had surrounded the Messenger of Allah, he stated, Man rajulun yashri lana nafsa, meaning, who will devote themselves for our sake? Thereupon Ziyad bin Sakhan and five Ansari companions stood up. Some say that it was Ammar bin Yazid bin Sakhan. Subsequently, they displayed great feats of courage in front of the Holy Prophet, and one by one they were martyred until only Ziyad and Ammar remained. They kept fighting until they incurred many injuries. Then a party of the Muslims returned and pushed the disbelievers away from the Holy Prophet. After this, the Holy Prophet said, bring Ziyad bin Sakhan closer to me. So the companions brought him closer to the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet used his blessed feet as a pillow for Ziyad, and he died in such a position that his cheek was resting upon the blessed feet of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He sustained 14 wounds to his body. I have related some of these incidents before as well. There are some new points in some of these narrations, or some new parts, or there is a different style of narration. For this reason, I narrate them again. The Holy Prophet ﷺ returned to Medina from Uhud. It is mentioned in narrations that on the day of the Battle of Uhud, after the Holy Prophet ﷺ buried the martyrs of Uhud, he returned to Medina. And there is also mention of the fact that the Maghrib prayers were offered in Medina. Thus, an author has written, when they returned to Medina from the plains of Uhud, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu called the azan when it was time for the Maghrib prayer. The Holy Prophet leaned on Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah and Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh in order to come to the mosque and pray. After offering the prayer, the Holy Prophet returned to his home. When it was time for the Isha prayer, Hazrat Bilal once again called the azan, but the Holy Prophet could not come due to sleep, i.e. meaning he was resting and sleeping. He could not come to the mosque after the azan at the time for prayer. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was sitting and waiting outside the door of the Holy Prophet. He did not simply return and offered the prayers. Rather, he sat there waiting. After a considerable amount of the night passed, Hazrat Bilal called the Holy Prophet for the prayer. When the Holy Prophet arrived for prayer, his health was much better than before. After leading the Isha prayer, the Holy Prophet went back to his house. From the prayer area to his house, the companions had stood and made rows. The Holy Prophet would walk between them and went home alone. At this time, he did not need to lean on anyone's shoulder. When he came for the Maghrib prayer, he used others as support. Then he rested and offered the Isha prayer later, and he did not require any further support either on his way or on his way back. During this time, some women were wailing over the death of Hazrat Hamza, so the Holy Prophet ﷺ stopped them from doing so, as I have mentioned in the previous sermon as well. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ returned to his home, aside from those on guard, all the men and women had returned to their homes. Only those on duty remained. Regarding this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu states, after finishing up all the arrangements, the Holy Prophet departed for Medina close to the evening time, meaning all the work was finished. It was not such that they were injured, so they came back immediately. Rather, they finished all the work that needed to be done. Previously, I have mentioned examples in regards to the exemplary patience and contentment of the women of Medina. There are more examples in relation to this as well. What were the emotions of Hazrat Hamna bint Jahsh when the Holy Prophet ﷺ returned to Medina after the Battle of Uhud? He met Hazrat Hamna bint Jahsh, the wife of Hazrat Musab bin Umair. The people had informed her that her brother Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh had been martyred. She replied by saying, "Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return," and prayed for him to be granted forgiveness. Then they informed her of the martyrdom of her maternal uncle, Hazrat Hamza, to which she again replied, "Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return," and prayed for his forgiveness. Thereafter, the people informed her that her husband, Hazrat Musab bin Umair, had also been martyred, upon which she began to weep and became anxious. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "A husband holds a special status in the eyes of his wife." There is another tradition in which Hazrat Hamna bint Jahsh is mentioned. It is stated that when she was told that her brother was martyred, she replied, "May Allah have mercy on him," and said, "Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return." The people then said that her husband had also been martyred, to which she said, "Woe be unto me." The Holy Prophet then said, "A relationship between a wife and a husband is like no other." Hazrat Khalid ibn Masih IV rahimahullah has also mentioned this incident in an address of his, in his own words. Relating the incident of Hazrat Musa bin Umair's martyrdom and his wife's reaction upon learning about it, Hazrat Khalid bin Masih IV Rahimahullah stated, "Those male or female companions of the Holy Prophet who had lost more than one close relative would be informed about the loss of their loved ones gradually and not all at once, so that they could process the worrisome news and not be overwhelmed by being told all at once." Meaning that if the number of close relatives of a companion was more than one, they would be informed of it one by one, rather than all at once. First they would be told about one martyrdom, then after that another, and so on, to avoid burdening people with all the heavy news at once. And so, when Hazrat Abdullah's sister, Hamna bint Jahsh, came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, "O Hamna, be patient and seek a great reward from your Creator." Hazrat Hamna inquired, "For whose loss?" The Messenger replied, "Your uncle Hamza." Hearing this, she replied, "To Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. May Allah forgive and have mercy on him and grant him the status of a martyr." After this, the Messenger of Allah said, "O Hamna, be patient and seek a great reward from your God." She inquired, "For whose loss?" The Messenger of Allah replied, "Your brother, Abdullah." Again, Hazrat Hamna replied, "To Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. May Allah forgive and have mercy on him and grant him the status of a martyr." After this, the Holy Prophet again said, "O Hamna, be patient and expect a great reward from Allah." She again inquired, "For whose loss?" The Messenger of Allah said, "For Musa bin Umair." Hearing this, Hazrat Hamna said, "Woe be unto me." Hearing this, the Messenger of Allah replied, "Verily the wife has a great right over her husband that knows no equal." She was asked, i.e. Hazrat Hamna, why she had only articulated her grief for her husband. She replied, "O Messenger of Allah, it occurred to me that his children have become orphans, which worried me. And it was in this state that I uttered these words." Upon hearing this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ prayed for the children of Hazrat Musa bin Umair, saying, "O Allah, be their guardian and protector. Treat them with kindness and affection and take good care of them." The following incident is about Hazrat Hind, who I spoke about in a previous sermon. What was her love for the Holy Prophet, and how did she strive to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty? It is stated that her husband, brother, and her son were all martyred. When she found out that they had been martyred, then, as mentioned previously, she desired to bring them back to Medina, but she then took them back. About this, further details state that it was God Almighty's desire for the martyrs of Uhud to be buried in Uhud. This much has been narrated previously. Hazrat Aisha had set out to inquire about what happened in Uhud. She inquired about Hazrat Hind, who was returning from Uhud. I have mentioned her reply in a previous sermon. Further details about this incident are as follows. Hazrat Hind replied, "The Holy Prophet ﷺ is alive and well. Aside from him, we can endure every calamity." Meaning that if the Holy Prophet was fine, then nothing else mattered. Following this, Hazrat Hind recited the following verse: وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. Meaning, "And Allah turned back the disbelievers in their rage. They gained no good, and Allah sufficed the believers in their fight." And Allah is powerful, mighty. Hazrat Aisha asked who was on the camel. It was then that Hazrat Hind said, "My brother, my son Khalad, and my husband, Amr bin Jamuh." Hazrat Aisha asked, "Where are you taking them?" She replied, I am taking them to Medina to bury them. She then tried to pull her camel, but the camel sat down on the same spot. Hazrat Aisha said, there is too much load on the camel. Hazrat Hind stated, this camel can usually take the load of two camels, but right now it is doing the complete opposite. She then scolded the camel upon which it stood up. But when she tried to direct it towards Medina, it sat down again. Then when she pulled it in the direction of Uhud, it began to move quickly. Hazrat Hind came to the Holy Prophet and informed him of this incident. The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, this camel was under divine command, i.e. it was under divine orders not to go towards Medina and stay in Uhud. Did your husband say anything to you before he left for Uhud? She replied, when Amr was about to set off for Uhud, he turned towards the Qibla and prayed, O Allah, do not return me to my loved ones in a state of humiliation and grant me martyrdom. The Holy Prophet ﷺ responded, it was for this reason your camel was not moving. O Ansar, there are certain pious people among you that if they make an oath in God's name, God Almighty will certainly fulfill that oath. Amr bin Jamuh was indeed one of those. The Holy Prophet then turned to Amr bin Jamuh's wife and said, O Hind, from the time your brother has been martyred, angels have formed a covering over him and are in wait for when he will be buried. The Holy Prophet remained there until the martyrs were buried. He then said, O Hind, Amr bin Jamuh, your son Khalad, and your brother Abdullah are together in paradise as friends. Hind replied, O Messenger of Allah, please pray that may Allah the Almighty place me in their company. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet passed by a woman from the Banu Dinar, whose husband, brother, and father were all martyred in the Battle of Uhud, fighting alongside the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When condolences were conveyed to her, she asked about the well-being of the Holy Prophet. The people replied, O such and such, the Holy Prophet is fine, and by the grace of Allah, he is in the way that we all desire him to be. The woman replied, show me, I wish to see for myself. Someone indicated in the direction of the Holy Prophet. When she saw the Holy Prophet, she said, aside from the Holy Prophet, every calamity is insignificant. In another narration, there is mention of the woman's son being martyred. Hazrat Anas bin Malik states that during the Battle of Uhud, rumors of martyrdom of the Holy Prophet reached Medina, as a result of which the people of Medina became extremely uneasy, to the extent that the people could be heard wailing and screaming in the streets of Medina. One woman from the Ansar became frightened and came outside. In front of her were the bodies of her brother, son, and husband. The narrator states, I do not know which of them she saw first, but when she moved to the last of the bodies, she asked, who are they? The people replied, it is your brother, husband, and your son. She asked, how is the Holy Prophet ﷺ? The people replied, he is up ahead. The woman went to the Holy Prophet and held on to the cloak of the Holy Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. As long as you are well, I have no worry for any other loss. According to one narration, the name of the woman was Sumaira bint Qais, who is the mother of Nu'man bin Abd Amr. Whilst mentioning this incident, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu anhu once stated, we find numerous such examples of bravery amongst the companions. One will only find one or two such examples amongst millions of people across many countries. However, one can find hundreds of such examples in just a few thousand companions. It is possible that one will find such an example in other people, but that will only be one or two examples amongst millions of people. But in this case, one will find hundreds of such examples in just a few thousand people. What a great example this is in relation to this woman. Hazrat Muslim Audin states, I have related this incident many times, and it is worthy of being mentioned in every gathering, and in order to keep the memory of this incident alive. Certain accounts are so extraordinary that even if they are recounted over and again, they still do not get old. So too is the incident of this woman, who on the occasion of the Battle of Uhud heard that the Holy Prophet had been martyred. Out of anxiousness, along with the other women of Medina, she came outside, and upon seeing the first horse rider coming from that direction of Uhud, she inquired, "How is the Holy Prophet?" He replied, "Your husband has been killed." Upon this, she stated, "I have inquired from you about the Holy Prophet, and you are informing me about my husband." He then said, "Your father has also been killed." However, this woman stated, "I am inquiring from you about the Holy Prophet, and you are telling me about my father." The rider then stated, "Two of your brothers have also been killed." However, this woman asked again, "Just answer my question. I am not asking about my relatives. I am inquiring about the Holy Prophet." Since this companion's heart was content, knowing that the Holy Prophet was well, therefore he felt that the most important matter for her would be to inform her about the death of her relatives. However, for this woman, the most beloved thing was the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. It is for this reason that she sternly told him that he should answer her question. Upon this, he stated that the Holy Prophet was fine and well. Upon hearing this, she stated, "If the Holy Prophet is alive, then I have no sorrow regardless of who dies." As a Muslim Ahmad states, "It is evident that the example of the old lady is of no significance as compared to the example of this woman, which even the reporter acknowledges. The example which Hazrat Muslim Ahmad was giving was that of an old German lady whose son was killed during the Second World War. She let out a laughter in a sarcastic fashion in reaction to this news. This incident was reported in the newspapers at the time and mentioned how much patience this lady had expressed upon the death of her son, and she did not express any grief, rather reacted to it by letting out a laughter. Whilst mentioning this, Hazrat Muslim Ahmad stated, "This expression of emotion seems to bear a great burden, although she laughed, but in reality it carried with it a great burden." Deep within her heart, she, i.e. the German lady, was crying, but on the outside she displayed strength as if to say that it was fine. Hazrat Muslim Ahmad radiallahu anhu states, "However, in the case of this female companion, it was not that she was suppressing her emotion and was crying within her heart and not outwardly expressing it. In fact, she was expressing emotions of joy even within her heart, knowing that the Holy Prophet was alive. The German lady indeed was sorrowful, but was not expressing it. However, this female companion felt no grief in her heart. This is such an extraordinary example, which is unparalleled in the history of the world. And if these people are not the ones to whom this statement applies, minhum man qada nahba, then who else would it apply to?" Hazrat Muslim Ahmad further states, "When I read this incident of this woman, my heart is filled with respect and honor for her, and my heart desires to touch the mantle of this woman and then place my hands over my eyes, for this woman has left such a unique and unparalleled example in her devotion to my beloved." Whilst recounting this very expression of love and devotion, Hazrat Muslim Ahmad states elsewhere, "Ponder as to how great her love was for the Holy Prophet. People informed her about the demise of her father, brothers, and husband, one after the other, and yet she continued to ask about the Holy Prophet ﷺ. This is an account of another woman who expressed such deep love for the Holy Prophet ﷺ." In another place, Hazrat Muslim Ahmad states, "Try to picture this scene in your minds for a moment. Every one of you has experienced someone pass away who is close to them. Someone may have witnessed their mother, father, brother, or sister pass away. Try to think of that time. How those who are about to die have the finest food prepared for them by their relatives and are provided with treatment and care. But the state of the one who is about to die is like as if a calamity has befallen in their home, and the one dying is not concerned about anything else apart from their death. However, the Holy Prophet had instilled such love in the hearts of his companions that they did not have any concern for anything except for him. However, this love for him was derived from the fact that he was God Almighty's beloved. They did not love him simply for being Muhammad. Rather, it was for him being a messenger of Allah. Then Hazrat Muslim further states, in essence, these people loved God Almighty. And because God Almighty loved the Holy Prophet Muhammad, his companions also loved him. It was not just the men, but if you observe the women, their hearts were also brimming with immense love and devotion for him. He further states, this love for the Holy Prophet was put into their hearts by God Almighty. Despite this, however, they always gave precedence to God Almighty over everything. And it was this belief in the unity of God that enabled them to triumph in all parts of the world. Their love for God Almighty eclipsed even their parents, siblings, and spouses. They pursued only one goal, and that was to please their God. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty stated regarding them, radiallahu anhum, that they preferred Allah the Almighty over everything, and Allah the Almighty preferred them. Nonetheless, Hazrat Muslim continues, with the passage of time, the Muslims failed to uphold this standard. Now, if they have a relationship with Allah the Almighty, it is only imaginary. They imagine as though they are very deeply connected. Indeed, in their minds, they claim to believe in Allah the Almighty and His unity. However, their hearts are devoid of this and are inclining elsewhere. Any mention of the Holy Prophet tugs at their heartstrings. They indeed possess love for him. However, they lack the belief in the unity of God in its true form. A biographer writes, indeed, the plight of Medina was painful. However, when comparing Makkah to Medina, both sides suffered a loss under vastly different circumstances. Medina was under immense hardship as the situation was dire. Makkah had its own hardships and they were in danger. Yet, when compared against one another, there was a stark difference. What was that difference? Upon receiving news of their defeat at Badr, the idolaters of Makkah displayed weakness, anguish, and anxiety. On the other hand, after experiencing hardship in Uhud, the people of Medina demonstrated unprecedented patience and faith, steadfastness and courage. Muslims suffered a loss at Uhud, but their reaction was to show unparalleled patience, steadfastness and bravery. The loss incurred at Uhud by Medina's army did not cause any of its residents to become feeble, anxious and helpless. The greatest testament to this is a Muslim woman who lost her son, husband, brother, and father in the Battle of Uhud. She was not unsettled by this, nor did this loss cause her to become intemperate. She was a woman belonging to the Banu Dinar who stepped into the battlefield and saw her own son, husband, brother, and father killed in cold blood. Losing control is a whole separate matter. She was not bothered in the least and only asked about the one person who was dearer to her than the four she had lost. That was the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she saw that he was well, she remarked, any calamity, no matter how severe, pales against the safety and well-being of the Holy Prophet. I will, God willing, mention further accounts in the future. Pray for the Palestinians. May Allah the Almighty create ease for them. As a result of their depraved mentality and actions, the enemy is bent upon destroying them. Rather than trying to stop the war, the major powers are trying to fan its flames. The US president called for a ceasefire last Monday, and now it is said that a ceasefire will happen before Ramadan, but only as a temporary one for 6 weeks. All this will do is give Israel time to recoup and then start their cruelties afresh. It is only Allah the Almighty who can put a stop to them. Hence, we must pray a great deal. Through charity organizations, Ahmadis should try to provide the Palestinians with food, medicine, or any sort of aid. In your own respective social spheres, you should also make efforts for bringing an end to these injustices. As I mentioned before, that you should continue writing letters to politicians and not tire in doing so. You should tell them that what they are doing is wrong. May Allah the Almighty enable the Palestinians to also increase their prayers and improve their spiritual condition. The risk of a world war is also increasing amidst the war between Ukraine and Russia, in which, according to news reports, America and Europe are becoming directly involved. We here should also pray for this, that Allah the Almighty saves the world from ruin. As a precautionary measure, I have prescribed a homeopathic remedy to safeguard against the fallout of atomic bombs. And Hazrat Khalid ibn Masih IV, rahimahullah, had also prescribed the same remedy. It is available in the Jamaat's homeopathy department in plentiful quantities. Everyone should at least complete another course of 3 doses each of these medicines. Furthermore, Ahmadis should stockpile rations for 2 to 3 months in their homes, especially in those parts of the world where the impact of the war can be direct. Even if the war does not take place, this is beneficial. The stockpiles people made prior to this helped them through various troubles that came, and they reported that it was beneficial for them. Pray for the Ahmadis in Yemen as well, that Allah the Almighty swiftly procure the means for their release. The Yemeni army or a group has developed suspicion that the Ahmadiyya community is scheming against the country. May their suspicions be removed and may they swiftly be released. May Allah the Almighty grant the world reason so that rather than falling into the depravities of the world in the name of advancement, they may recognize Allah the Almighty instead. May Allah the Almighty establish the Muslim countries upon justice, thereby enabling them to become united. May He also enable us to spread the message of Allah the Almighty to every single person. There is also some tragic news. Respected Tahir Iqbal Chima Sahib, son of Khizr Hayat Chima Sahib, who is a local president of the Ahmadiyya community in Chak 84 district, Fatehpur, Bahawalpur, was recently martyred. Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. The incident leading to Tahir Iqbal Chima Sahib's martyrdom is as follows. 2 unidentified individuals opened fire on 4th of March, resulting in his martyrdom. At the time of his martyrdom, the deceased was 60 years old. Further details are that after the Fajr prayer, Tahir Iqbal Chima Sahib, local president of Chak 84, Fatehpur, district Bahawalpur, left for a walk, as was his routine. 2 unidentified individuals riding a motorcycle followed him and opened fire. He was struck in the head by 2 bullets, as a result of which he was martyred at the scene. The assailants fled after the incident. The police have filed a case against the 2 unidentified individuals. However, there is never really any actual investigation in these matters there. Nonetheless, a case has been filed. The deceased martyr did not have any enmity or personal grudge with anyone. He had a good reputation in his village and the surrounding villages, and was known as being very noble. Aside from the element of religion, there does not seem to be any other reason for his martyrdom. Ahmadiyyat was established in the deceased martyr's family through his great paternal grandfather, Mu'in Khan Sahib's brother, Hazrat Hakim Deen Sahib, a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. In 1905, he travelled from Chak 46 Sargodha to Qadian, where he pledged allegiance, and then subsequently remained in Qadian. Thereafter, he encouraged his brothers and other members of his family to pledge allegiance and join the fold of Ahmadiyyat. As a result of this, the deceased martyr's great paternal grandfather, Moin Khan Sahib, along with all of his brothers, pledged allegiance through a letter and joined the fold of Ahmadiyyat. The family later moved to Chak 84, Bahawalpur. In 1964, the deceased martyr was born in Chak 84, Bahawalpur, and it was there that he obtained his education until the matriculation level. He went on to adopt the occupation of farming. By the grace of God, he was part of the Wasiyat scheme. At the time of his martyrdom, he was serving as the local president of his Jamaat. Prior to this, he had the opportunity of serving as a secretary of finance and Zaim and Sarla. He was regular in offering the financial contributions. He was regular in offering the prayers and keeping fasts while also being mindful of offering tahajjud prayers. Even whilst traveling, he would be particular about offering prayers. He loved Khilafat. He regularly listened to my sermons and would ensure whether everyone at home had also listened to the sermon. At the time of his martyrdom, his accounts for all the mandatory financial contributions and Hissa Jaidad were complete. He would particularly tend to the hospitality of Jamaat guests and would strive to host them at his own home and thus take care of them personally, rather than at the Jamaat level. The deceased also oversaw matters pertaining to the cemetery there. There are many difficulties when it comes to graves and cemeteries in Pakistan. With every passing day, some evil individual or groups breaks the headstone of our graves. He tended to the matters of the cemetery there. He would monitor the graves and maintain them as well. This is a big undertaking there these days. Many people would leave their trusts with him, including non-Ahmadis as well. The only person they trusted was an Ahmadi, knowing that he would be the one to properly take care of their trusts. Yet they still maintain their opposition. Their ways of doing things is very strange. In any case, those who did keep their trusts with him were good people. However, others still do not understand. His wife, Kishwar Naheed Sahiba, says, "My late husband was very kind to me. At home, he would evaluate about the offering of prayers and whether everyone had listened to the Friday sermons. He always treated my relatives as his own and like friends." The martyr's daughter, Madiha Tahir, says, "He was at the forefront of serving the Jamaat, and obedience was one of his salient qualities. He had the utmost respect and devotion for Khilafat. He was a fearless and courageous Ahmadi. He always treated his children as friends. The Emir of Bahawalpur district, the missionary of Bahawalpur district, and other office bearers have always spoken highly of the deceased martyr. He was loved by everyone. He was filled with the passion for serving humanity, and hospitality was a salient feature of his. He treated representatives from the headquarters and life devotees as his own. The deceased martyr is survived by his wife, two sons, and one daughter. One of his sons, Luqman Ahmed, lives in Germany with his family. His daughter, Madiha Tahir, is here in the UK. One son, Salman Tahir, was with him and worked as a farmer as well. May Allah the Almighty elevate the deceased martyr's station, grant him mercy and forgiveness, and grant his entire family patience and enable them to carry on the legacy of his virtues."
نماز کے بعد انشاءاللہ نماز جنازہ بھی پڑھاؤں گا ان کا الحمدللہ نحمدہ ونستعینہ ونستغفرہ ونؤمن بہ ونتوکل علیہ ونعوذ باللہ من شرور انفسنا ومن سیئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.